flaming arrows. That's the image the Bible uses when describing the attacks of the devil on believers who want to live for God. There is a defense Christians can use to ward off Satan's fiery darts. We can protect ourselves with what the Apostle Paul calls the shield of faith. Today, we'll learn how to use this piece of the armor of God and see how a strong faith can block arrows of doubt. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. To help us in fighting the invisible war, Erwin Lutzer is teaching us about the armor of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 as we now learn about the shield of faith.
We've been learning in this series of messages that there is an invisible enemy that all of us have and who is involved in our lives. You may tune into this message, or you may be here today and say that this is a message for Christians, and in many respects it is. But the recognition that there are evil spirits belongs to all the other religions of the world as well, even through personal experience. For example, if you're here today listening and you are a Muslim, you know that the Muslims speak about the jinn, I believe it is. They speak about evil spirits. So do the Buddhists, so do the Hindus, so do people who are in the New Age movement. They connect with higher powers. Sometimes they hear voices. Sometimes they recognize that in their deception, by the way, they are committing themselves to a power beyond themselves, and it is not the power of the living and true God. So, in a sense, we're all in this together, but the only book that really gives us a definitive kind of explanation and description of this invisible war is the Bible, because it was revealed by God. Now, when you stop to think about Satan, and we are learning that one of the things that he wants us to do is to not fear sin, to believe that we can make our own decisions, and in making those own decisions, to actually profit and to handle any of the consequences that might come our way. He makes sin attractive to us. We've also learned that he is very malicious and he is well organized. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, which is really the passage that we have been using as we talk about the pieces of armor. Ephesians chapter 6, and you'll remember that the Apostle Paul says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers." This now is verse 12. Against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, against the spiritual forces. I think what he is doing is he's talking about different ranks of demonic powers. When you think about good angels, you know that there is, of course, Gabriel and Michael, the angel that we know about, who receive a lot of prominence, the only two angels that are mentioned by name in the Bible. And then under them, there are ranks. There's cherubim and seraphim, and they're well organized. The same kind of organization exists in the evil spirit world as Satan gets organized and has a plan to try to destroy the church and to do as much evil as he possibly can. As a matter of fact, it may well be that an evil spirit or two is actually assigned to us to find out our weaknesses, to make sure that any weaknesses can be exploited and to take advantage of us, particularly when we are tempted. Now, in the Bible, there is no specific formula for what is called exorcism, though Jesus frequently cast out demons by his word and by his power. But I think that for you and me, it's very important for us to turn to the writings of the New Testament, that is, the letters, the epistles. And by the way, if you're new to the Christian faith, the epistles are not the wives of the apostles, all right? We use the term to refer to certain letters written by Paul and other writers of the New Testament like Jude and Peter and John, we use those words, the word epistles, to refer to those writings, such as, for example, the book of Ephesians. And what we discover there is that the epistles do not emphasize power encounters as much as they do truth encounters. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about truth. We're going to talk about lies. We're going to talk about deceptions. Now, what is it that Satan is really looking for in your life and mine? I can tell you that what he wants to find is some unclean place in our soul that he can exploit. You have a background, possibly, of being sexually molested or involved in some kind of sexuality that has left you with a great deal of emptiness and self-hatred. Satan wants to exploit that. He wants to exploit every opportunity that you and I give him when we begin to invite sin into our lives and make it a welcome home within us. Now, we're going to be talking today about some serious, serious matters. Because there are some of you who have voices in your head, and you know who you are. In fact, I've discovered that there are more people with voices in their heads than perhaps we know about, because most people don't tell us. Some of you have voices that tell you that you should cut yourselves, that you should commit suicide, or that you should do evil, or voices that are an assault against your self-worth. Satan loves those. You're damaged goods. There's really no hope for you. As a matter of fact, considering the direction that you are traveling, you're never going to amount to anything. And those voices can become very persistent as Satan does his war against us. Now, I hope you've been here for the past messages as we talked about such things as the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace. Today we come to a very critical point in our armor, and that is the shield of faith. Notice it is there in verse 16. It is our text for the day. And verse 15, the shoes for your feet, but verse 16, in all circumstances, can also be translated above all. We're going to talk about a piece of armor which, if you do not have this one, you will be assaulted. And you will be defeated when the assault comes. Above all. Even if you should forget those shoes of peace for a moment, above all, take the shield of faith, the Bible says. And you'll notice with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Three questions are going to be answered in the next 20 or 25 minutes. Critical questions that for many of you can be a transforming moment. The first question is this: what is the shield of faith? What is it? Well, the imagery, of course, is drawn from Roman soldiers, because that's where Paul is. He's writing this in Rome. He is chained to Roman soldiers. So when he speaks about the shield of faith, we learn that there were two different kinds of shields. One was a very small one, perhaps 2 feet by 2 feet, and you would have that strapped onto your arm so that you would use it to rebuff any attempts of the enemy to get you. It was used oftentimes in one-on-one combat. So you could have the shield on this arm and be using your sword with your right arm. The other possibility, and it is much more likely, is that there was another kind of shield. It was a bigger shield, perhaps 2.5 feet wide and 4 to 4.5 feet long. So that when you held it, it in effect covered your entire body. The other thing about these particular shields is that they were beveled, or they had hooks on them, so that soldiers could hook them together. So you can imagine 100 soldiers having all of their shields linked together, and as they walked, it was like a wall, and they were walking toward the enemy. They were not the ones who were doing the shooting. Behind them, shooting arrows above their heads, were the archers who were being also protected by the shields of those who went in first into battle. And I think that's the kind of shield, by the word that Paul uses, that's the kind of shield that he is talking about. Well, if that was a Roman shield, what is the shield of faith? The shield of faith, very clear, is the promises that God gives us and the promises by which we must live. You see, if you do not have God's promises, if you disbelieve God, what Satan desires to do is to give you empirical proof that God, if he has the power, simply does not care about you, and what you've done is so evil and so wrong that he's mad at you anyway, you might as well walk away from him. Those are the lies of the devil, and they run counter to the promises of God. You say, well, what promises? For example, in Ephesians 1, if we were to read the last part of Ephesians 1, Paul says, and I'll simply quote it for you, that Jesus has been exalted above every power and every name that is named in this world and in the world to come. Now, there is a promise of the triumph of Jesus over all evil spirits and the victory of Jesus over all the forces of evil that you and I can possibly imagine. But you see, you come to a promise like that, and then you say, well, yes, I know that Jesus has the power, but does God care about me? If you have the shield of faith, you will know that God cares about you. Yes, my friend, that's why the Apostle Paul says, above all, take the shield of faith. You might be able to get by with some of the pieces of armor missing, but you can't fight without faith. Because everything that Satan brings into our life is to try to erode our faith. All of the difficulties, all of the disappointments, the health issues, which are so discouraging, they make us doubt God's goodness. They make us doubt whether or not God is actually trustworthy. On the one hand, he says he cares, but on the other hand, if he cares, why all this on my plate? Do you see the struggle? And it's a huge struggle. The shield of faith. But if I'm speaking to you today and you say, well, Pastor Lutzer, my faith is so small. Well, the good news is that Jesus said on one occasion that even if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, if you exercise that much faith, you can begin the life of faith. Bottom line, come to Jesus just as you are. You know, of course, if you know me, that I absolutely love the song, Just As I Am Without One Plea, and I love those words. Just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Be sure to listen to the next part of this message, because in it I do discuss doubt. I do remind people to continue to believe. But for today, as I leave you, will you trust His Word today? As a believer, trust the promises, and if you've never received Christ, do it now.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, introducing his message on The Shield of Faith, the fifth of seven in a series on The Invisible War. Monday, more details on how we're to use this shield. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our series on The Invisible War can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about The Invisible War. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for Monday's Running to Win.